morning. This is Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team at Prudential Now Realty, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We're here every Saturday morning right here on News Talk 870. As always, you can contact myself, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct on my cell at 727-8977 or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. Once again, I always like to thank John for hosting and everybody here at the station for working to make this happen. John, how are you doing this week?
Well, running.
Yes, it's been a busy one. That's for sure. You know, I think the nice weather and gets everybody going, and there's plenty to do.
Continuing to dig the hole for the pool.
Ah, yes, there we go. Home improvement at its best.
Playing with a sod cutter and a rototiller last week and this week too.
Yes, so. Well, that'll keep you tired and busy.
Oh yeah, absolutely. So the market's still hot. I take it hasn't slowed down.
It hasn't slowed down a bit. I mean, we've had a ton of activity. Once again, you know, in our great fashion and trend, we like to keep up. Mm-hmm. One of the pick threes we had from last week already sold, just a couple days on the market. So that was fabulous. Happy sellers and moving on to getting them into their new home. And then also, I'd like to thank all the listeners. We had several inquiries about the other pick threes. Sent out a lot of links and information to folks. So appreciate you guys shooting me those emails and inquiries after the show. And that's really just working out great. So
absolutely.
Any information we can provide, just go to kenmoreteam.com and we can shoot that over to you. On top of all that, we had three new places listed in the past week. We've got three more coming up next week. So there's going to be plenty of pick threes and lots of great inventory coming from our team. So
very good.
You know, we've got the job growth, the recruiters, everybody sending business in. So things are still looking great for us.
Good.
So we can
very good.
We can appreciate that. But this week, we are wanting to talk about an issue we've never talked about on the show, and I usually like to bring in some experts when we can, and so I'd like to introduce to you a guest that we have today. We have Jim Lovelace with Complete Pest Prevention with us. Jim, how are you doing?
I'm excellent. How are you, Lance?
Doing great. So thanks for coming in, and, you know, one thing that I get a lot.
Complete pest prevention.
Complete pest prevention.
I got a visual of, no, I'm just thinking about my neighbor. I've got nice neighbors.
So what happens in real estate, this is just part of the process that we've never talked about, but, you know, homeowners, I think, in general, are not quite prepared for sometimes what they're going to be facing. And other than their family moving in, sometimes other families move in. And
but they're not on the loan docks.
They're not on the loan docks. So I wanted to have you in today, Jim, just to talk to us a little bit about your business, what you do, and how that kind of fits into the real estate equation. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I spent about 18 years with a large commercial company.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And, you know, at some point in the game, I realized I wanted to do something different. We moved here to the Tri-Cities in 2000 and started looking around. And I looked at the marketplace and I was thinking, you know, it's underserviced and underserved. So wanted to make an impact. And at that point, we broke out on our own and started our company.
Mm-hmm. Great. And where did you live before that?
We were up in the Yakima area, in the Yakima Valley, and, you know, did pest control up there. I was doing a lot of pest control down here, working with a regional company, and I was spending the majority of my time here in the Tri-Cities.
Okay. That makes sense. Why not make the move then?
Wait a minute. Why don't I just come down here because they keep calling me?
Absolutely.
And it was a matter of some of your expertise was dealing with maybe things that they were not prepared to deal with. Was it that? Or?
Well, I think the area saw so much growth in such a short period of time, and you know, my expertise at the time was in food processing facilities and commercial work. And I'd never, ever delved into the residential market before at that point. And it was something I really wanted to do. I looked around, and I just didn't see that many companies doing pest control in the residential market the way we were doing it in the commercial market. And I thought, man, if I could translate this You know, you look at a food plant, it's like one big, huge kitchen.
Yeah. Well, I was going to...
You're dealing with federal and state regulations, you're doing pest control in a food plant, you better know what you're doing.
Or they're going to get
a little knock on the door.
Pretty much.
That level of service really speaks to, you know, I didn't even know that prior today, and I've done business with Jim in the past, so you learn something all the time.
Wow.
But that level of service, I mean, that makes sense to why you're
applying
so good
the commercial
at
to
what
the residential,
you do.
And you're probably going to get pretty good results.
We've had a tremendous amount of success. It's been fun. What I really love about commercial, or rather residential, pest prevention is I love meeting with homeowners, mm-hmm. and I love providing the personal touch that they need, mm-hmm. and it's just fun.
So I can tell you how I met Jim. So I'm one of the houses I had moved into a couple of years ago.
Something about a bird issue.
It was a bird issue. So we had pigeons. Like, you would have thought our house was like just attracting
cathedral.
Pigeons. And apparently, so through the research, I learned that prior to the house being built there, there had been a shop there where they had been for years, you know, and so they mowed it down, and hence the problem. Well, anyway, kind of like what you were saying is we went through the phone book and called three or four different people, and I couldn't get anybody to come out and deal with that issue on our residence. You know, it was all either, well, we only do commercial, or we have this solution, or we have that. And finally, I got a referral. In fact, at this moment, I don't even remember how it happened, but someone had said, you know, you should call this guy. And so that's how we got hooked up. And I tell you what, he put these special little nettings over the problem areas. And, you know, within a week or two, it was fixed. So,
wow.
So I can, from a firsthand experience, I can say that, you know, that really helps. And, you know, I really didn't know of anybody else who was doing a situation like that where they could handle a bird problem. I mean, is that something you tackle a lot, or?
You know, it's kind of seasonal. Right now we're launching into that springtime when birds in general are doing their nesting thing. They're really getting ready to make it happen. You know, Mother Nature's kicking in here.
Yeah.
So we do get a lot of calls on that. And it's not just the pigeons, but starlings will compromise the vents on homes. You get a lot of that where the vents that come at time of construction have a pretty thin mesh there, and these birds are pretty diligent. They will knock that mesh clean out, and they'll build a nest right up in the eaves of your attic. And it is, and then it's after that, birds have mites, which are small insect, and so it kind of perpetuates this big thing. And as you know, because of your experience, where the pigeons were there for years in that barn, they were habituated to that site.
Right.
And
exactly.
The same thing is true with most birds. Starlings do the same thing. If they lived there last year, you can believe they're going to live there this year.
They're coming back. They're booking another reservation. And you can't just, you know, hey, build a birdhouse out in the yard. That's not going to do it. They're going to go back and remember that spot.
Exactly. So you guys can come in, remove the bird problem, and then redo it with netting and mesh that'll stand up so that you can get rid of the problem.
Yeah, we're providing a solution where we basically remove the whole problem, sanitize it for you, get it excluded so the birds can't come back in there. And, you know, the cool thing about that is that in most cases, all that's done without a pesticide. That's a natural green approach that we're getting it done without harming the birds.
Right.
You know, they get displaced, but they can go move somewhere else.
Right. Exactly. Well, that makes a lot of sense. So
also the idea that it's you sanitize and clean it as well, because I'm not sure, and I'm just guessing here, I'm not sure that everybody who offers that type of service is going to do that. You know, we'll get rid of the problem, but you got to clean it up yourself. And I'm sure that helps a lot, knowing that when you're done, they don't have to worry about the mites or the disease or the issues that come with wild animals.
Interestingly enough, we use Jason Klavansky at Sparkling Clean Windows to do a lot of that cleaning.
Oh, okay.
Somebody you know well.
Right, yeah, yeah. Definitely. Yeah, we've talked to him on the show before, so that's great that you guys work in conjunction with him. Now tell me this. This time of year, our homeowners that are listening from a real estate standpoint, What type of service, what type of preventative maintenance over the next couple months do you do a lot of, or do you think it's important for homeowners to be wary of over the next 2 or 3 months as we come into spring?
Well, there's several pest issues that are going to pop up, but the one in particular that's probably the most prevalent right now would be an ant issue.
Okay.
You know,
digging your swimming pool.
Well, not just that, but here, based on the sandy soils we have here at the radio station, boy, I tell you what, they tell you, this time of year, we don't leave any food garbage in there, or you come in the next morning and there's a little trail of ants going up the wall.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It doesn't take much, and you're like, where did they come from?
They do want, they'll appear out of nowhere. And in some cases, you know, you mentioned food. I'm sure a lot of listeners are going to identify with this. They can have the cleanest environment in the world, literally spotless, and there are some ant species that will show up, and one in particular is the odorous house ant. And the way that ant got its name is if it literally, if you crush that ant, it will exclude, it'll put off an odor.
Okay.
And so you can smell that ant.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, it's real nice. Yeah. It's not a foul odor, it's just a unique odor.
Right.
But that's how it got its name. And the point is that no amount of cleaning will make that ant go away. And I guess to answer your question, Lance, you want to be real careful about household remedies or over-the-counter stuff, the things that you'd buy at the hardware store, you got to be careful because you can actually take an ant problem and make it significantly worse by doing your own treatment.
Okay.
And and that's not necessarily true with all ants, but in I think the key is you want to get it identified.
So the difference between, say, me doing something, which, you know, would be like, oh, geez, there's an ant, where you guys are going to come in, you're going to be more concerned about what type of ant that is, why that ant's there, and different methods of treatment for different species.
Absolutely.
And, you know, where it's coming from, so instead of just treating it at the end of the line, you can go back and, okay, here's where they're coming from. Here's where we're going to apply our remedy so they don't make it into the house.
Hey, you really do want to get to the source of the problem. Like Lance said, what species is it? How does that ant behave? What products are going to work for that? Mm-hmm. There are some ant species you will never solve with an over-the-counter product. And I know it doesn't seem that way. When you look at a little critter like that, you think, man, you just break out the can of Raid, hose it down, and it's all good.
Or right. 40.
Yeah. I mean, we get all kinds of that stuff. Yeah, just put a little diesel on it, light it on fire.
Right. No, this is true. I mean, I've never even thought about this. So
there's more to it than that. There is actually science involved in pest control.
Okay. Now let me tell you from homeowners that I've heard from and talked about, and I think, I don't know how it relates or percentage of business in your business, but my homeowners are always calling me or asking me, you know, when they call to talk to Jim or asking me for a referral, is spiders. I get spiders all the time, those calls. And what's going on with those? Or do you do an annual maintenance plan? Do you do that once a year? How do you control that?
Well, we do whatever our customers want us to do, to be honest with you. We're not going to be a hard sell for you, you know, and we're not going to try to shove some program down your throat, but there is some value in doing a seasonal program treatment. And the value in that is that you're managing a population. If you don't do anything between now and July or August, what you're doing is allowing those pests to propagate and build a population between now and that point.
Okay.
So if you do a treatment early on in the season, one in the middle of the season, one late in the season, you're going to have a lot more significant results that associated with that. So there is value in doing something more frequently that way.
Kind of a preventative. Prevent now. You know, it's like fertilizing. Fertilize now and you'll have a stronger lawn. Prevent now and you're not going to have the problem later.
It's true with a lot of things like that. And in just about any service that way, you know, and a lot of times it does come down to your budget, things like that. And we understand that. So we're going to work with people on whatever level makes sense for them. But we're not going to pull any punches if they want to think that, you know, if we come out in June, that they're going to be pest-free for the rest of the year.
Yeah. Right.
That's just not going to happen.
Mm-hmm. That makes a lot of sense. Well, we haven't even got to any great fun stories yet, but I noticed
what's the biggest mistake you see from home?
Well, we're going to have to get to that after the break. I know we're bumping up on a break here, but yeah, I'm sure we'd like to get at least one fun pest story out of you after the break. So when you come back, we're going to talk a little bit with Scott Ridgway of Cobalt Mortgage, talk about some properties, and wrap up with a few more pest questions. So we'll talk to you after the break.
Right here on News Talk 870.
Welcome back to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. Today we've been talking about pest issues in your home.
And Scott's here.
And Scott is also... Wow.
John.
Nice lead in there. So we've got Jim Lovelace with Complete Pest Prevention with us. Jim, I know you talked a lot in the first segment, and we'll get back to you here in a minute, but for people that are listening in and did not get your contact info in the first segment, how can people best get a hold of you if they do have a pest issue they need you to look at?
Well, you can reach us locally at 627-5211.
Okay.
Or you can reach us on that contraption that Al Gore invented at the World Wide Web.
I love it.
We're at completepest.com.
Okay, folks, that was 627-5211 or completepest.com.
That's easy to remember.
We do have, as John McKay said, speaking of pests, we do have our premier lending sponsor and lending expert, Mr. Scott Ridgway with Cobalt Mortgage. Scott, how's it going this week?
It's going great. It's nice to be here at the comedy hour.
Okay, great. You give us a microphone and look what happens. So yes. What is happening, though, in the world of lending right now? What do our listeners need to know this week?
Well, getting a mortgage in 2010 is a little more complicated than it's been in the past due to the challenging economy and increased government regulation. And I know we like to talk about government regulation there with Al Gore and the Internet and all this nice stuff. But never fear, that's why I'm here as your certified mortgage planning specialist. My role is to walk by your side, be your personal guide, and set you up for success every step of the way. So there's the new good faith estimate that is out. There are new appraisal rules and guidelines. Most mortgage loans these days are either insured by the Federal Housing Administration, FHA, or sold to Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac. That means that mortgage banks and brokers need to follow the rules set by Fannie, Freddie, and the FHA. So that's really what's new in mortgage lending right now as we go into 2010 and try to get people to solidify up their opportunities on this tax credit.
Now, you mentioned following the rules. That's something that if you're a legitimate, bona fide, established lender, realty company, or mortgage company,
right,
you've probably already been doing that. So it's pretty much, this is for the rest of the people that were maybe kind of around the edges a little bit, if I interpret that correctly.
It is, and some of the nice things that are occurring is they are instituting a statewide licensing in the mortgage industry, and by the end of 2010, that's December 31st, there will be a national test that needs to be taken for licensing requirements in our industry. So it is actually a good thing cleaning up the industry and making sure that we're holding people to a higher standard. The state took the first step. Now nationally, the federal government's getting involved and taking it to an even higher level.
And one of the things on the real estate side, as a result of that, that we've had happen is we've now incorporated into our contracts a standard clause that allows for what's called an automatic 4-day extension of the closing date if a borrower shows up at closing and their interest rate is more than a quarter point off of what they were quoted on their good faith estimate. Because what was happening as the market was raging and you had all these buyers showing up is you get mom and dad and the kids and they've given notice and they've moved out of their apartment and they're at closing and they show up and the interest rate is a point higher than they were supposed to have. They don't have a place to live.
Right.
You can imagine the house is supposed to close tomorrow, and you got the seller saying, sorry, you don't close tomorrow. I'm selling it to the next guy for $5,000 more. So you had a lot of people kind of, you know, jammed into, to no fault of the buyer, you know, jammed into a situation where they felt almost forced to sign. And so what we're doing now is we're kind of giving sellers a heads up at the beginning and also counseling with buyers that say, look, if you show up, this is a protection for you as a buyer. You show up to closing, there's a drastic difference in your interest rate. We're having the sellers agree up front, even though it's a slight inconvenience, to automatically extend that closing day by 4 days.
So you can get that worked out.
Exactly. And so this is how changes in the lending process are now being reflected directly in some of our real estate contracts. And so, you know, national things, even though we haven't had a huge rash of this here locally, but these national regulations and changes are definitely affecting us on the local level.
Absolutely. And at Cobalt Mortgage, what we've done is tried to get ahead of that curve and put our continuing education hours in place already, mm-hmm. and we're working to make sure that we get those national licenses taken care of before the end of the month, so that not only are we all up to speed on what the guidelines are, but that we've kind of got that big test out of the way early so that we can utilize all that knowledge for the entire year. I did want to touch on this, the new disclosure rules, and there was also some stuff regarding annual percentage rate, or APR, and that's the U.S. Congress enacted the new laws, and the Federal Reserve Board issued these new guidelines that could delay the loan process, just like what Lance is talking about with that mm-hmm. 4 days. For example, if the APR on your loan changes by more than an eighth before closing, the lender needs to issue new disclosure forms and give you time to review those new disclosure forms. And so a couple of things that can change the APR are if you decide to lock in your interest rate or get a rate lock extension, that can change it. You decide to reduce your loan amount, that can change it. You're getting an adjustable rate mortgage and the index value changes. Now, we're not doing a lot of adjustable rate mortgages right now. Most of them are fixed rates because we're still below a 200-year average on those fixed rates.
Yeah.
Your credit score changes before closing. Lenders can run updated credit reports prior to closing, and if your credit scores have fallen, you are at risk of possibly not being able to go through with that. So that's a big, big deal.
And that ties in with the topic a long time ago. Just had to mention this. Don't go buy a car while you're trying to get a house.
Oh, my gosh. Since that show, I had that happen. I had that happen, and I looked at him, and I must have looked like a deer in headlights, like, you got to be kidding me.
Did you not listen to the show on Saturday?
You missed a show. Look out there, you listeners, don't miss a show. There's so much valuable information. And then the last thing that can change APR that I just wanted to mention is if you decide to pay more or less points, which is to either get a different interest rate mm-hmm. Than you initially requested, that can change your APR. So again, a lot of those things, all of those do trigger redisclosure, and that is why it's great that Lance has foreseen and looked at this to have that new disclosure that he has in their contracts, because that really does help the transaction to go smooth and reduce the stress to our clients that we're trying to serve.
There you go.
All right.
Wow.
That is...
He's floating.
That is a lot of lending. Yes.
Cobalt Mortgage. Give Scott a call.
Yes.
Okay. So now's the time. We're going to talk about some property real quick and then back to Jim.
Pick three. It's his
pick
favorite
three.
Part of the show.
So, okay. Here's pick number one of the pick three. It's back. It's been in the pick three before, but it's changed. Mm-hmm. So what I've got is I've got a 4-bed, 3-bath, 1.5-story home. It's in Ivy Glades in West Pasco. Mm-hmm. This home is pretty amazing. I mean, it's close to the river. There's walking paths all around this community. The kitchen has tons of granite in the counter space, tile floors, a bonus room. This house, the seller called me up and says, Lance, I know the market's hot. I know we want to move this house. We just did a $20,000 price reduction on this home.
Wow.
You can get into this home, 2,450 square feet, only 5 years old, and it's at $225,000. So we're in a community of $100 a square foot plus homes, and we've reduced the price on this to about $90 a square foot to get it moved.
Wow.
So give me a call. This one's going to move. Pick number two, we're back into West Pasco again. We've got a huge chef's kitchen, 4 beds also in this house, 3 baths, a 3-car garage, and a bonus room. This house is huge, 3,422 square feet, couple years old, and it's priced at $269,000.
Wow.
It's a lot of home for the money.
Awesome.
Great neighborhood. Everything's up in West Pasco now, so it's really close to everything.
Mm-hmm.
And then pick number three, we've got a couple lots out in a subdivision that I have listed. It's Country Meadow Heights. It's out Badger Canyon.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful subdivision. And we've got a lot out there. It's 2.4 acres, KID irrigation, pressurized, all in, strong covenants. These are kind of estate quality building lots. Mm-hmm. And we've got one of these priced at $90,000.
Wow.
The rest of the lots in this development are selling for above $120,000, $130,000. We've had a couple sales last week. So it's just, if you're looking at building a custom home in a neighborhood that's going to retain a huge amount of value, mm-hmm. to find all of that in a lot for $90,000 is a great find. So,
I like the idea of the pressurized KID, because then you don't have to mess with it.
Yep. It's
anytime
good.
There's stuff in the ground already that you don't have to mess with, that's a bonus.
That
folks.
You can call somebody when it doesn't work right.
Yes.
Exactly. So we have, that's our pick three. Some great opportunities out there, a lot of new inventory coming on. And but more importantly, we've been talking today about pest prevention, some pest problems in the houses, and what you can do. And I guess, Jim, to kind of, you know, give us another segment here, a question that I brought with me was, a thought I had is, what is the biggest mistake in pest prevention that you see homeowners make? What can our homeowners out there that are listening, you know, not do to help themselves out?
Well, you know, it's tough to qualify that into one response about one pest issue, but...
Give us a couple.
Okay.
It's the comedy hour. Here we go.
Yeah. I guess, honestly... I'll talk a little bit about our philosophy as a company.
Okay.
And our philosophy is to take a least risk approach. And the way we do that is by making good decisions about how to manage a pest population or solve a pest problem. And a lot of times that doesn't really come to the forefront of every homeowner's mind when they decide to go tackle a problem.
Mm-hmm.
They sometimes react first about how to solve something, and whether it's an ant problem or a rodent problem. And you know, when you're dealing with pesticides, you have pets, you have kids,
vegetation.
That's a great point. Vegetation. You have the environment as a whole. You have a koi pond.
Right.
You know. It's pretty easy to do a lot of damage in a hurry if you don't really have an understanding about how to handle pesticides. I don't care if they're professional grade or over-the-counter grade. Mm-hmm. You can hurt things. And
this stuff is toxic.
It can be. I mean, and so, you know, I guess my concern for most homeowners is don't take matters into your own hand if you don't really know what you're doing. You're either going to exasperate the problem or you're going to incur risk that you don't need to incur.
That's a great point. I mean, I never thought about that. I thought, great, we're having the pest guy on the show. He kills things, you know. And, you know, and but I mean, no. I mean, it's a great
sometimes
point.
Overkill is
that,
not the best
yeah
way
that
to
I
go.
That I thought of. It's a more of a protection issue from you, and that's an interesting way of looking at it.
It really is.
You mentioned how sometimes, let's use the word saturation bombing. Some guy goes down to Lowe's or Home Depot, walks in with an arsenal, like, you know, something you'd clear a jungle with. You said it can actually make the problem worse.
Absolutely.
It can actually aggravate it? How does that work?
Well, let's go back to the ants. You know, this time of year, everybody's dealing with that. And the over-the-counter products are probably flying off the shelf. Most ant species, if you look at an ant colony, it's something that's living either in a wall void or in a ceiling void or in the ground.
Mm-hmm.
What you see out on the ground is probably, I don't know, 1/100th of the colony.
Wow.
Maybe.
Right.
You know, if that.
Okay.
Wow. These are little critters that are just out looking for some food and water. They're talking to the rest of the colony with pheromones.
Mm-hmm.
They speak a different language than we do. So if you come in there and you do some repelling products, whether it's, like you say, a fogger or a bug bomb or, you know, or the WD-40.
WD-40 lighters, not recommended
not
by the Tri-Cities Real Estate
idea.
Update.
Yeah.
Those products are just going to speak to that ant colony and say, look, this is not where we want to be. Let's pick up and move.
Okay.
So they're going to do that. You're going to kill a handful of ants. The rest of the colony is going to figure it out, and they're going to go, let's not be here. They're just going to move. And so you're really not going to solve the problem long term.
The problem is they're probably going to move to another spot in your yard or your house, because there's probably another spot not far away. That will be, so they're just moving from place to place on your property. You're not really getting rid
taking
of the problem.
Care of it.
That's it. They literally pick up their larvae as a colony, and they move the entire colony. Not just a handful of ants. The entire colony moves.
I can tell you this is stuff I've never even considered. I can tell you that right.
No, but it does go with the vein of the show, and that is call a professional, be smart, and do it right the first time.
Now, one other thing I wanted to get to, I know there's a couple other points, and another big thing that I have a lot of homeowners call for is, you know, something has died under the house, or there's a smell you can't get rid of. Now, I don't know what to call them or what they're really called, but I know in the past you've gone out and I think you have magic bags.
That's is right.
What these things are. No, I'm serious. We had a home that we just couldn't get a smell of. So you actually have some sort of odor absorbing bag or something?
That's exactly what it is. I can't describe it any differently, and we call them magic bags.
Oh God. I mean, it truly is, because
what all do those work for?
So that can help in reducing, because sometimes I've had homeowners complain those odors stay for 2, 3, 4 weeks.
Yeah, if you have a decaying animal in your crawl space, whether it's a mouse or, you know, it could be a larger animal, it's possible. It can linger for quite a while, and these bags do absorb it, and it is proprietary.
And this isn't something, I mean, because my parents had this problem. You can't buy this at Home Depot or Lowe's.
No.
This is a special order. It's another level, right?
It's a professional-grade product. I haven't, you know, I may stand corrected, but I haven't seen it out on the
So if we do have a homeowner out there that's had a lingering smell they can't get rid of, they've had it for 1, 2 weeks, please, I do urge you to call Jim, and he can definitely help take care of that problem. So now, as we kind of we're running up on the end of the show here, we probably could have done an hour show on pest prevention, but you've got to give us one great story. I mean, in the Tri-Cities, what is the craziest pest problem you've ever ran into, or just... It shocked you. You know, the one where your employees call you and say, Jim, this is not normal.
Well, I tell you, I'm really nervous to even tell this story because it's fairly embarrassing on, you know, for me.
But, not nice.
But there was a point in time a while back that we got a call out to a pretty large grocery store, and they had a rat shipped in on a pallet of material, you know, from either Seattle or Portland, and that rat got loose in the store, and it was kind of moving around, and it was in there for a few days, and
oh gosh,
it yeah.
And well, this is not one of your little field mice that
no,
you see running
this
around.
This is
a full size, you know, Schwarzenegger rat.
It's gonna do some damage, but it, you know, it was out of its environment. It didn't want to be there, but it finally settled in behind a piece of equipment in the. Turned out it was right at the front of the store, right behind the check stands, and you know, we made a decision to go in there and try to remove it right in the busiest part of the day.
Oh. I see.
And needless to say, at one point the animal bolted and started running, and there were grocery carts dodging and people yelling and screaming, and it was exciting.
Okay. They make movies out of that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it was stuff right out of the movies. But
well, but eventually, I'm sure you took care of the problem.
We captured
them.
The critter. You know, hopefully. Gotcha. Their shoppers returned, but
gotcha. Well, that is a great story to end our segment. For those of us, those of you just tuning in, we've been talking with Jim Lovelace and Complete Pest Prevention. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of different things you can do to protect your household throughout the year. Even I know on some new construction stuff, he's done treatments for us before, prior to even the home being completely built on like your foundation. So there's a million other things we could talk about, but we don't have a million more minutes. So, once again, Jim, why don't you give us the information? How can folks get a hold of you for their pest questions?
Easiest way is locally here. We are a locally owned and operated company. It's 627-5211. Mm-hmm. We do have a website. It's at completepest.com.
Perfect.
And
great. Well, we appreciate you being on the show. We appreciate you giving us some of your knowledge today, and we will probably definitely be calling you with a bunch of questions. And Scott, for the lending needs, how can everybody get a hold of you?
Scott Ridgway, Cobalt Mortgage. Give me a call at 737-6004.
And Myself, Lance Kenmore, the only one crazy enough to give the cell phone, but go ahead, 727-8977. Give us a call for all your real estate needs, and if you missed any of the information, as always, shoot me an email if you need to get a hold of Jim or Scott. I'm always glad to forward those inquiries on to them. So thanks to all the listeners for your tons of inquiries over the last couple of weeks. It's
and
just
remember the podcasting, too,
and at KenmoreTeam.com. If you missed the show, you can grab the podcast the following week. So thanks again, folks, and we will see you guys next week.
Right here on News Talk 870.